Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. The Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 305 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Blake Gray. Thank you, Blake.
Thank you, Blake.
Thanks.
Yay.
I think you're Blake great.
Oh. Cute.
I mean, yes. But what a joke, Catherine. All right.
Hilarious.
Sure. So today we will be discussing part 3 of chapter 2. Of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows in memoriam. So make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to recollect your way through the details.
I tried.
Before we begin, Meg's Mouse Tales has weekly profit news. What is this? What is this?
The Death Eaters are coming to Universal Orlando.
That sounds terrifying.
For just spooky season or like for all times?
It's for probably just for spooky season.
Boo hiss.
I know.
Gosh.
So it's going to be like interactive. So it says the interactive, this live interactive, hold on.
Okay.
This interactive live entertainment experience puts guests face to face with these fanatic witches and wizards as they roam through London, lurk their way through the cobbled streets of Nocturne Alley, and challenge guests to join the Dark Lord. Also, while visiting Diagon Alley, guests can shop for a variety of Death Eater-themed merchandise to embrace their sinister side. So I do believe that... Philly, come on, buddy.
What?
Uh-uh. No, no.
I can't even hear it.
He's digging in his bag. I will get it in a second. Okay, so I do believe that this is in collaboration with Halloween Horror Nights. I'm not 100% on if they're going to be out and about outside of Horror Nights. I kind of am getting the impression it is just during, which is good because, well, it depends how you look at it.
Okay.
So I liked there having nothing going on in the Wizarding World area during Halloween Horror Nights because it was a safe zone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but like, you know, now they're bringing some spooky into Wizarding World. So you have less safe zones during Halloween Horror Nights. But it is kind of cool to see the Wizarding World get in on HHN. So
for real,
I mean,
though, like,
yeah. Why wouldn't it, you know?
Right. Imagine... So, like, Nocturne Alley is already creepy, right? I've kind of,
yeah,
like...
Imagine running into a Death Eater in Nocturne
Alley. No, I would die. It's like, so freaking dark.
Well, yeah, if it's, like, if it's nighttime and your eyes are adjusted, fine. But if it's, like, midday and the sun's blaring and then you go in there and you can't see and then one just, like, pops up over your shoulder?
What if...
No.
Oh, my God. The days of you sleeping there are over.
They're
guarantee.
Over, man. Over. It's just the stuff of nightmares now.
They'll just like roll through and just be like a lot of
and like then, I wonder if they speak or are they just like
I can't imagine that they wouldn't
creepy.
You know,
yeah. I mean, like, it kind of makes me think of like a scarier version of the stormtroopers that walk around Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, those are kind of comical.
You can literally run into Kylo Ren.
Oh,
I said stormtroopers.
I know, I'm just saying it is scary. He's gonna get you.
But they're just like, move along.
Move along.
Like, Death Eaters could be like,
what are they like calling people like mudbloods and stuff?
Oh, that'd be interesting.
You know? Like, what are they doing?
They
you know what they really should do? They need to do some kind of weird show where they like, this is really awful. Like lift muggles in the air or whatever, like they did at the World Cup.
That would be
terrifying.
That would be terrifying.
I'm just saying for like horror night, that could be like a thing.
Yes. I mean, they've done worse. Stuff that they do for HHN. Yeah.
Oh, I'm missing a ton of chat. Okay, sorry.
You know, it's highly themed. I think that, do you remember when we were at Leavesden? We went during October and they had Death Eaters come out to Diagon Alley randomly when you were walking through it. Mm-hmm. And one scared me. It came up behind me and then all of a sudden had its wand like pointed at my head and I was like, oh my God.
Dang. Imagine being in front of Borgen and Burke.
I know.
No.
With that troll skeleton.
No. Or that evil doll, that legit evil doll.
Oh my gosh.
Don't talk about
it. And then all of a sudden you feel a poke in the cheek and somebody goes and you're gone. It's over.
I would. Jen in the chat said we need a Harry Potter haunted house. I like,
yeah,
if they can get the author to get on board with doing a house at HHN, I would lose my mind.
Dude, they could really
go. Right?
1,000%. And I don't would like buy the gore unlimited stuff. Express pass and that's just go on thing. That house over and over.
Yeah, for real.
Like, I live here now.
I definitely do the behind the scenes tour.
They
for
did like
that
a
one.
Tom Riddle's house with like the snake and then like
dead
body yard,
the lake.
The lake.
Shut up. It's not big enough. In Fury. Can you imagine?
Dude, I'm already afraid enough of the Inferi and Hogwarts Legacy.
Those are gross.
I know.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, they could do a scene in the Forbidden Forest with Aragog. Oh, there's so much potential.
Azkaban.
I hope eventually. I feel like.
Oh, Azkaban.
Somewhere deep in my bones, I feel like it will happen one day.
Yeah, we just need rights to be signed over to someone who knows,
because you know Universal immediately would be like, yes,
Harry Potter.
Yeah,
okay,
okay,
end it.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Boo.
All right, make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they may too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flick Cast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/Swish Flick Cast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going and it gives you access to our exclusive Felix Files episodes, our Discord channel, live recordings, trivia games, Swish swag boxes, and more. Thank you all so much for your support. We are always accepting Potter stories, so please send them to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
Okay, but something in the chat seems very sus.
What?
There's like hardly any Gryffindors here today. What's up with that? Cheaters. Cheating. Where are the lions? Red. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. What did you do? Ban them? Snake? With your little badger pal?
Maybe.
Badger pal?
Yeah. The other color's black, Katie.
I believe it's called a badger buddy.
Yeah, Rebecca Buckeye, this is no time for making dinner, okay? I need you to shut up. Get here.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, we have that Elsa, and it also lost that same hand. Janine, what's going on? Oh, man. Yeah. Anywho's.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
It's
I cannot with you.
I love you.
Everybody all collectively went swipe app closed. Not
unsubscribe. Unfollow.
Maybe, yeah.
Oh man. Okay. We're done with Doge's article.
Dodgy Doge.
Dodgy Doge.
Doge.
And Harry's starting his next, like, grief struggle with Dumbledore because did he even know him? All this stuff that is in Doge's article is brand new information. And of course, Rita Skeeter is on the case. She's the first to release a book, The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore. My notes say it, The Life and Life.
The Life and Life.
The Two Life lives. And
Life of Albus Dumbledore.
All right. Are we ready for what's next?
The shrubbery? I am.
Rita has written a 900-page book in just 4 weeks.
She's thick.
Sounds legit to me.
Right.
Rita discredits Elpheus and explains that a bag of galleons can get a lot of information quickly. We get some quick highlights from her book. Dumbledore dabbled in the dark arts, you say? Aberforth and his goats are mentioned. And then we really begin to see the Rita embellishing happen here. What is Dumbledore and Harry's relationship? Rita knows, apparently. And Harry's upset with the article, especially since he's mentioned. And then we see bright blue eyes in that little sliver of mirror.
You know that most of that, like, 900-page book. Like, we've all written that essay where we have, like, said so many extra adjectives and filler words. That's what she's doing.
It's so funny. So, there's... quite a bit was said about Rita at that Carnegie Hall thing with the author. And she said that she kind of went on to create a whole bunch of memoirs after this. And all of them Rita? Were about a fourth true. Yeah.
About
a
what?
Fourth.
A oh. fourth. A fourth true. Yeah. Rita wrote one about Harry. He won't run up. He wrote one about Snape. He wrote one about.
You mean she?
She wrote one about Armando.
What's Dippet. Happening? Were they all oh. called The Life and Lies? Was it like it was The Life like, and Lies
It series? Was like the, their name and then like a question. It was like basically the same premise. God, premise. What's wrong with me? I can't.
You're fine.
I like yeah. premise better. Premise. Sounds very
it sounds more professional.
Premise. Premise.
Oh, you fancy.
I just thought that that was funny.
That is funny.
That she basically the author is like a fourth of it is true.
Nice.
It's kind of like I'm sure she sold so much too, just like people buy like The Inquirer and whatever that other one is. Well, yeah, but everyone actually thought that was real.
Gilderoy. We hardly knew ye because we didn't really. Anyways,
Nella in the chat says Rita must have used ChatGPT.
So good old AI.
4 weeks.
That's a quick quotes quill.
For sure.
That's the quick quotes quill.
Okay. So remember, Rita is being interviewed by Betty Braithwaite. However you want to say it, who is a fellow reporter for the Daily Prophet. Did we go into good old Betty's character yet at all?
I heard she has a relationship with James.
You heard that from Inez?
What?
Most times you can't believe a word she says.
They cheat. Oh, James cheated on Betty with August.
Yeah.
Weird.
Is this a fan fiction?
I guess kind of.
I literally don't know what you're talking about right now.
It's Taylor Swift's fictional love triangle Tiffany. From folklore.
Jeez Louise. I love that.
Is this a fan fiction?
Well, I don't know.
Some would say
fanfic,
it's fact,
so I thought
fiction.
Maybe that was you.
Stranger than fiction.
Stranger than fiction.
Oh my God.
All right, continue or I'll never stop.
Whatever. Okay. Good old Betty, right? It's also very confusing when I log into the wiki and then like the first thing is like a trailer for Ahsoka. And I'm like, am I looking at Star Wars or what? Any whoosies. Betty's name, Betty, means oath of God. And I guess I looked up Braithwaite and it means broad clearing, whatever that goes. Anywho. it's not really neither here nor there. There's not much on her, as you can probably imagine. She's liking Rita enough to interview her. Because, like, the way that this article is spun, it kind of, like, makes Rita seem not, like, as awful as we know that she is. So, you know, maybe they have a friendship going on. But she's only mentioned in this chapter in the entire series, so. The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore is said to be 900 pages long. And I, for one, would still want the whole thing in my hot little hannies as an actual book. And I would read that. I would read that. And it's completed only 4 weeks after Dumbledore died. So I'm sitting here thinking 900 pages is a lot. I do understand that we have magic at our fingertips here, right? We've got a quick quotes quill, but I'm wondering, we also have the Bathilda interview that needs to happen. So I wonder, like, do you think at any point to kind of get back at Dumbledore for anything, do you think that maybe she started this after Goblet?
I wondered that.
Or do you think she really, like, crunch time 4 weeks? Because I see her as someone that would be like almost plotting, you know? Yeah. And she knows that, like, there's so much controversy around Dumbledore's decisions and whatnot, and she likes to call upon, like, the fake relationships, like, spinning them in certain ways with, like, Harry calling it sinister and whatever. So I just wonder, do you think she was sitting on it, or do you think she worked hard?
Mia said she started her outline from inside her jar.
On a leaf with a stick.
I feel like this was probably a passion project that was brewing for a long time, and she always planned on writing it. So, like, and I kind of feel the same way about, like, any famous figure. She probably has notebooks.
Yeah. And like you said, the author said that she has all of these, like, published
biographies,
right?
She did one on Harry, she did one on Snape,
so, like, those are what she knows the public finds interesting.
Yeah,
so she's probably like, I gotta be the first to do this, I've got to make, you know, all those galleons.
Yeah, I do. I don't think that she interviewed
Bathilda
until after, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, a big chunk of it, I do think, was crunch time.
I wonder how she connected the dots to get to Bathilda.
It was probably Godric's Hollow. She was just like, he lived in Godric's Hollow. Who else do I know that lives in Godric's Hollow?
Think she just went a knocking?
Yeah.
She went a little fly flittering with the little
bug wings.
She went
a little Veritaserum happy, too. That's just awful.
Yeah. All right. So Betty calls the death of Dumbledore mysterious, adding to the fact that this book might hold more answers or more speculating about the murder that occurred. And Rita said that, you know, working to a deadline's easy peasy lemon squeezy, because she's been a journalist for so long and she knows that everyone wants the whole story. She wanted to be the first to deliver this to the wizarding world. And Elpheus Doge is brought up and apparently got wind of this book and began speaking out. Quote, I mentioned the recent widely publicized remarks of Elpheus Doge, special advisor to the Wizengamot, a longstanding friend of Albus Dumbledore's, that, quote, Skeeter's book contains less fact than a chocolate frog card. Well, a fourth.
I have a problem with that line.
Oh, go for it.
Because what on a chocolate frog card isn't true?
Well, I think Dumbledore's. Hold on. I think that he's referring to the small amount that's on the frog card. There's only like a few sentences.
Oh.
Mind blown. Changed her whole life right just then. Jaw-dropping moment.
I was seriously like so confused by that line. I was like, why? What does he have against chocolate frog cards? Like everything that we read about Dumbledore's on the back seemed to be true. What is wrong with them? I was so confused.
You were so defending chocolate frog.
I was like, what the heck is wrong with a chocolate frog card?
Oh my God. Doge.
I do have to say, I'm so sorry.
Go ahead.
I just think her response to Elpheus Doge, though, is so childish.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's completely, she just wants to paint him as somebody who's nuts.
Yeah.
And not to be trusted. Yeah. And if she says this about him, too, then, you know, his obituary looks like straight up putting at the bottom of the owl cage for it to poop on trash.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I just thought of, like, if magical folk use the Daily Prophet to line pages like that, like, moving pictures are getting pooped on.
Yeah.
Do you think they're like,
good.
Like, hiding probably in the corner, like,
Probably. Katie. They're probably real sad. I love that.
They're real sad.
Real sad.
They're like, oh, man, they had to get a dog to potty train, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Soggy bottom.
Doggy. Yeah. So Rita's response to this is, quote, darling Dodgy, I remember interviewing him a few years back about merpeople rights. Bless him. Completely gaga. Seemed to think we were sitting at the bottom of Lake Windermere. Kept telling me to watch out for trout. And I honestly, like, what's the real story behind that? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know it's spun.
I bet they did meet.
Mm-hmm. They probably very much disagreed about merpeople rights, is my guess.
Yeah. And so I wonder, like, what is the story behind that?
Fun fact, Lake Windermere is the largest natural lake in England, and it is in Cumbria, which is a part of the Lake District.
Is it?
Wow.
The lake size?
No.
Oh, well.
Take me to the lakes where all the poets went to die.
Oh, that could be a really terrible Harry Potter cover song.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh.
Anyways, many other people were echoing this, that he's gaga, and demanding to know how, or echoing what Doge was saying, sorry, how she could actually capture Dumbledore's life in only 4 short weeks. Quote, oh, my dear, beamed Skeeter, wrapping me affectionately across the knuckles. I can see this happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know as well as I do how much information can be generated by a fat bag of galleons and a refusal to hear the word no in a nice sharp quick quotes quill. Yikes. People were queuing to dish the dirt on Dumbledore anyway. Not everyone thought he was so wonderful, you know. He trod on an awful lot of important toes, but old Dodgy Doge can get off his high hippogriff because I've had access to a source most journalists would swap their wands for. One who has never spoken in public before and who was close to Dumbledore during the most turbulent and disturbing phase of his youth.
One of my favorite things of these books is when common phrases take a turn and have a magical creature put hippogriff into it.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
It's so good.
Who was queuing to talk about Dumbledore?
I bet some people.
You think?
Yeah.
You think ministry people?
Probably.
Probably people that just want their 15 AKA seconds of fame. AKA
Death Eaters.
Yeah, right.
You know? It's all very government, gross, smarmy, like backwards government. Not talking about like legitimately nice people.
Right.
Oh, Fudge. I wonder who Fudge. I wonder if Fudge was interviewed for a chapter. That'd be hilarious. I asked him for help every week. Blah. But yeah, I feel like Rita was probably, back to my question before, I feel like she was probably putting in the work before releasing this book, like,
yeah,
more so than just the 4 weeks, because there's already like a lot of publicity around it. Maybe people got wind of her like talking to other people, asking questions, you know what I mean? Because she talks about like the 12 uses of dragon's blood. So she interviewed whoever that bro is that we talk about later, I think. So like, I wonder, like, people may have been talking, but there's also a lot, people are excited about this book. And I don't doubt that. The Wizarding World seems very, like, if you just base it off of the Daily Prophet and people and how they read that and believed it, I feel like they'd be pining for this because people want to know the shocking things, right? And everybody wants to look. So Betty tries and does the good old journalist thing, right? And she's like, what's the biggest shocker that's going to be in the book? And Rita's like, oh my gosh, Betty, no. And it happened just like that because I was there. So she was like, people need to buy the book to find out all the juicy details. Quote, but I can promise that anybody who still thinks Dumbledore was as white as his beard is in for a rude awakening. Let's just say that nobody hearing him rage against you-know-who would have dreamed that he dabbled in the dark arts himself in his youth. And for a wizard who spent his later years pleading for tolerance, he wasn't exactly broad-minded when he was younger. Yes, Albus Dumbledore has had an extremely murky past, not to mention that very fishy family, which he worked so hard to keep hushed up.
Okay, so it's green now. So we're still in the middle of Skeeter's article here.
Skeeter.
So Betty asks Rita if she's referring to Aberforth, like when talking about the quote, very fishy family. And it talks about how Aberforth was convicted by the Wizengamot for misuse of magic caused by a minor scandal 15 years ago. And then Rita goes on to explain that it was something about goats. So the author did explain what this was, and I thought that was funny, so I'm going to tell you guys.
I was wondering, and I didn't look it up. Ooh, so thank
when?
You.
At the Carnegie Hall event.
Dude, what was not dropped at this event?
I know.
I know, right?
So the author explained that the charm was used supposedly to keep a goat's horns curly and clean, and they considered it misuse.
And I would not call that a scandal.
I agree. Which goes to show.
Goats to show.
Goats to show.
Oh my God.
That 1/4 of this is true and the rest is embellished.
Mm-hmm.
So then she goes on to explain, no, it's actually the mother and the sister is who I want to talk about here. Yeah, Becca in the chat says, minor scandal, LOL, no, it's having an illegitimate child. Credence. That would definitely be more of a scandal than coming up with a spell to clean your goat's horns. I don't know. It still sounds a little bit risque, but whatever.
what? Megan? <Risque? laughs> No.
If I was going to create some sort of spell for a goat, it would be to make their eyes... their pupils not be horizontal because it freaks me out.
Pupils are weird.
They have panoramic vision.
Cheaper like that.
So the mother and the daughter, sister.
Aubrey said, "Hot take: the goat scandal was a distraction to cover up Credence."
Hey, that's valid.
Maybe
I'm here
I
for
always
it.
Thought it had something to do with like Ariana and how like they would feed the goats together, and I don't know, like I always thought it had something to do, like I always thought
Ariana was involved in
it, wasn't
way.
Anything that was like fiddling about with yes. goats, but like something sweet.
Yes, I agree with that,
but I guess taking care of them is sweet and kind.
Yeah,
you know,
sure. And I mean, here's
what
the thing,
the
when people...
do you think that's just like them going after them?
Probably. And like if you think about it, sometimes, you know, people will use the phrase, like they'll say unkind things such as what she does here with it's like, I'm talking about much worse than a brother with a fondness for fiddling about with goats. It's like people can say that about other people's hobbies when they don't understand them. Like, you know, if somebody I'm talking to doesn't understand how much I love and am passionate about podcasts, like they could think that it's, you know, oh, you're just like fiddling around with like podcasting or whatever, you know, like, it's like to diminish
the telephone
it.
Game.
It's to diminish it for yeah. someone just to be mean, you know? And that's kind of like the vibe that I got from that with her towards Aberforth, which is annoying and just like unkind.
Yeah.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So she's talking about how she claims like it's no wonder Dumbledore never talked about how his nose got broken. Family.
Boom.
Yeah. And then Betty asks, like, you can't deny Rita, like, you can't deny Dumbledore's brilliance, you know, like he has so many magical discoveries. And she's mm-hmm. basically like, yeah, he has brains. Of course he does. But, you know, can he really take full credit for everything he's done? And here's where I think Rita begins embellishing. Like, I fully believe all of Dumbledore's achievements. I don't think that there should be anything in question there. That's, do you agree with that? Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, mm-hmm. also, I just want to talk about this because then she goes into Grindelwald. OK, so she goes into, oh, I'm glad you mentioned Grindelwald. Like, I'm afraid those who go dewy eyed over Dumbledore's spectacular victory must brace themselves for a bombshell or perhaps a dung bomb. Very dirty business indeed. All I'll say is don't be so sure that there really was the spectacular duel of legend. After they've read my book, people may be forced to conclude that Grindelwald simply conjured a white handkerchief from the end of his wand and came quietly. Here's what I want to call Bob Shorts on the author for a second here. Okay.
Ooh.
So we know, we've talked a million times about this Carnegie Hall event, correct? So the Carnegie Hall event is where mm-hmm. she dropped the quote bomb that Dumbledore was gay. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Rita Skeeter would have uncovered Dumbledore being gay if the author truly wanted that in the text. This was the moment to do it, or later in this book, whenever we're actually reading excerpts from the book, you know what I mean? Like, this book
yeah.
was the moment to put it in the text and make it official, and she chose not to. And I think that that is sure intentional. Did. And
yes, well, damn.
And I just, you know, it bothers me when I read about how she dropped it at Carnegie Hall too. Like, it was just so very nonchalant, like, oh, you didn't know that? Oh, of course he's gay. And it's like, if you wanted uh-huh. it to be that obvious, you should have just put it in the text, because the representation,
it would have upset people even like, I mean, even more so than the whole witchcraft thing. And she yeah. needed to sell for books.
Sure. But honestly, at the end of the day, yep. this is the last book in a series that you've already made, probably at that point, close to $1 billion. And you can't, if you mm-hmm. really cared about the representation in your books, you would have put it in regardless, because how many pre-orders did your book have? But
she didn't.
I know she didn't. And yeah. that, but that's like the, what bothers me is how she talked about it at Carnegie Hall, as if like, well, of course he's gay. And it's like, first of all, no, not of course. not everybody's going to read into that. You know these characters way better, obviously, than any of us do because you created them. And if that was an important part of his character.
I don't know how you would have read that. I don't know.
What? Because he wears high heels?
You know?
Like, I don't know.
I don't get that
again,
at all.
Yeah. It's just, it's so annoying.
Plenty of.
It just, it makes me
plenty
mad.
Of people wear those.
It makes
those.
Me mad.
Blake has a question,
yes.
though. What if she did put it in and her editor took it out? Is that a possibility?
At this point in time.
Or do you think she would have said.
I think that we would know if that happened.
Yeah.
That's my opinion, at least.
It's a great question, yeah. though, Blake.
I think that if that had been the case at this point in time, 2023, we would know if she had put it in. 1,000%. We would have known by now. I just, it just bothers me. So.
Yeah. Samesies. It feels very afterthought. You know. I don't know.
It felt like an afterthought.
Like, I'm going to shove this in here so maybe this group of people will be like,
this line also bothered me. Thank you, Mia, for posting what she actually said in it. So it says laughter. If I'd known it would make you so happy, I would have announced it years ago. Come on. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. It annoys me. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that was my little soapbox.
I love your soapboxes.
Thanks.
They smell great.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Did that one smell like rainbows?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Skittles.
Skittles.
What does that smell like?
Fruity Pebbles.
Skittles.
Oh,
I like
okay.
it.
I had a Fruity Pebbles macaron from Kelsey Elizabeth today.
Good.
Kelsey Elizabeth.
Twas delightful. I forgot I ate that.
So then the next little part of this talks about the entire chapter dedicated to Mr. Harry Potter himself. And Harry Potter and Dumbledore's relationship specifically. So it's, you know, she talks about how the relationship is called unhealthy, even sinister. But of course, you know, you have to buy the book to find out. So she's not going to give away too much. However, she does say that there's no question that Dumbledore took an unnatural interest in Potter from the word go, which from an outsider looking in is true, I would say. Whether that was really in the boy's best interests, well, we'll see. It's certainly an open secret that Potter has had a most troubled adolescence. Best interests? Debatable. You know, that is a lot of conversation with this entire book, right? Like, were Harry's best interests taken into account? Not really. I think the Wizarding World's best interests were taken into account first. But that's obviously not something she's going to be able to uncover without actually just talking to Harry and Snape, which those two people would never talk to her honestly and openly. So, you know, this is just her own take on it. So... But yeah, her credibility is about to be shot in Katie's part, so.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Okay.
This one's a shorty.
Shorty, but goody, like me and Tiffany.
Hey.
So good old Betty. I can't hear Betty without thinking of Taylor Swift.
I know.
Betty asks, well, are you still in touch with Harry Potter?
Because of course I am.
She did, after all, write a, quote, breakthrough piece in which Potter spoke exclusively of his conviction that you-know-who had returned, which is probably the one and only redeeming thing Rita has done.
Yeah.
So Rita's like, oh, yes, we've developed a close bond.
Close, you say.
Poor Potter has few real friends. And
that's true.
Him... That's all you need.
Yes.
And Rita and him had met at one of the most testing moments of his life, meaning the Triwizard Tournament. Quote, I am probably one of the only people alive who can say they know the real Harry Potter. Age 12.
Isn't it funny to think it's a Taylor Swift line.
I know. It's bad, man. I thought the same thing.
Isn't it funny to think that you would think that that would be one of the most testing moments of his life?
Right?
And it's really not. It's not.
No.
I mean, the ending of it, sure.
Yes.
But, like, think back to, like, task one. Piece of cake for Mr. Harry Potter at this point.
Fighting dragons.
Steal an egg from a dragon. No biggie.
Yeah. He's like,
I helped
raise a dragon in a wood house.
In a wooden house!
I just think it's just kind of funny.
Dude, anytime I feel like I've already done something and I'm like really proud of it, I'm really good at it, I'm gonna be like, I raised a dragon in a wooden house, man. It's got nothing.
A fire breathing dragon.
It's my new thing now.
Oh my god.
Right.
So she says she's one of the only people who knows the real Harry Potter. And Betty segues to
Barf.
The many rumors about Dumbledore's final hours. Because of course people are gonna talk people will talk for anybody, but this is a very historically widely known legendary person. So she asked, does Rita believe Harry was there when Dumbledore died? And I'm just going to read a quote from her. Well, I don't want to say too much. It's all in the book.
Of course.
But eyewitnesses inside Hogwarts Castle saw Potter running away from the scene moments after Dumbledore fell, jumped, or was pushed. None of the above.
Who are the eyewitnesses that are talking to her?
The Death Eaters.
That's what you guessed before.
And I then said maybe the Slytherins still. Draco could have talked to her again. Pansy, I mean, Draco talked to her, right?
Pansy would do that.
Pansy. But was Pansy an eyewitness to him running away? I don't remember where Pansy was.
I don't think Pansy... Is the Parkinson family like Death Eater peeps? I feel like they're not.
I don't think so.
I don't know, but isn't she the one who's like, go ahead and grab Harry? He's right there.
Yeah.
I just don't like her.
Yeah.
She's not a good representative.
Because she sucks. And she...
You know?
There's a lot of people that aren't.
Mm-hmm. I mean, full disclosure, I feel like Megan would have peaced out, but she wouldn't have like ratted Harry out before she pounced.
I mean, I very well might have pieced out.
She would have grabbed Katie by the scruff and dragged
her like, out of here. Bye.
Oh, boy.
Deuces.
Potter later gave evidence against Severus Snape, a man against whom he has a notorious grudge. Mm-hmm. Is everything as it seems? That is for the wizarding community to decide once they've read my book. Yeah.
I think... that last little bit that you read is a super cute comparison of the author to Rita. I almost feel like that line is kind of like the author talking to us right now, because we're at the very beginning of Deathly Hallows, right? Is everything as it seems? That is for you, reader, to decide once you've finished my book.
Because going into
this book,
Snapey Snape.
Yeah, we don't know who Snape is.
Yeah,
Meg, that's some deep cuts.
I also do think that the author has compared herself
to Rita,
hasn't she?
Yeah,
right. That's a thing, isn't it?
I thought she did.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
that sounds
okay.
Familiar.
I read that line though, and I was like, oh my god, it's like she's talking to us.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. 'Tis very good, thanks. Megan.
So the end of the article, no doubt Skeeter has quilled an instant bestseller. Dumbledore admirers, however, may be trembling about what is soon to come out about their hero. Look out, Tiffany. 900 pages.
Trembling.
Whatever. None of it matters to me.
As Auntie Muriel would say, 900 pages.
She's so funny.
So Harry finishes this article. And he is angry. He's got revulsion. Revulsion and fury is what he's described as feeling. So he balls up the newspaper, throws it with all his force. He does this. Have you ever done this when you're mad? You're just like blindly doing things. Like he's picking up books and then putting them in the same spot. He's opening empty drawers. Like he's just like so angry. He's
like
barely conscious.
Angry.
Yeah, of what he's doing. And this article is just echoing in his head. And he's so mad, he literally out loud screams, "Lies!" So loud that the next door neighbor.
I love this part.
So funny.
I love it so
much.
So he sits down on his bed and he's picking up the broken piece of mirror again that came from the beginning of the chapter. He's thinking about Dumbledore and the lies that are defaming him. And he suddenly sees this flash of brightest blue. He freezes. His cut finger slips on the mirror again. Did he cut it again? It doesn't say.
No, I don't think he cut it again.
Okay. Doesn't say.
He just like fumbled with it. It
said his already cut finger slipped on the jagged edge of the mirror.
I was just
again.
Like, ooh, that made me think of like a paper cut that you like
when you
recut.
Get another paper cut in your paper cut. Literal worst.
Cardboard cuts are worse. Oh, working at UPS. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Anyway.
UPS store probs, man.
So he like looks over his shoulder. And there's nothing behind him that would have reflected blue. So he looks back at the mirror and it's nothing but his own eye. So he tells himself.
Forget the color of his eye?
Maybe, yeah. Do I have blue eyes?
You're like, wait, what color were my mother's eyes?
I watched this movie about myself and I had different eyes. And then the person that played my mom as a young kid had different eyes than that. What are my eye colors?
Oh my God.
What was I even talking about? So he tells himself that he imagined it. No other explanation. Like, I was just thinking about Dumbledore. But then he's thinking, if anything was certain, it was that the bright blue eyes of Albus Dumbledore would never pierce him again. But Harry, as you said,
there was blue eyes.
They will pierce you again.
The eyes of Albus Dumbledore's brother, perhaps.
No, literally, Dumbledore will look upon his face again.
Yeah, on his head.
In the beyond.
In death.
In the beyond.
Are you in the bio? I'm not sure.
No. Sure. We did it. All right.
Got time with for them a couple
in two parts.
Lightning bolt questions.
Your face is lightning.
If I can remember how to pull them. Woo woo. Okay.
It's been a minute.
Slap Quack Chanda asks, what are the titles of Rita's biographies? So they did say it's like Severus Snape, Sinister. Oh, shoot. What is it? Hold on. I can tell you. Rita Skeeter's biography titles.
Harry Potter would be Harry Potter Scarred or Scarred.
Or Scared.
Armando Dippet, Master scarred or Moron. Or
Jeez,
Rita.
I love it.
Shoot, where are they?
I'm trying to think of like Dumbledore. Is he daft or is Snape. He dangerous?
Snape.
You know,
Snape.
Smart or slimy.
Scoundrel or saint.
That's perfect. Oh my God.
And then it doesn't say the title Scoundrel. Of Harry's.
But... Okay, so what's Harry's?
Yeah.
So what's Harry's?
Hero.
Scarred or scared?
Harry Potter.
I like that.
Speckled or scared? Or git.
Is he daft or is he dangerous?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Sarah asks, what would be Dumble's reaction to Rita's book?
Oh, he would probably be
laugh.
Like,
I think he would laugh.
He'd probably be like, I love this. Yeah. This is amazing.
He'd probably be really proud of it.
He would have it on his shelf, front and center. He would like invite people over and sign copies.
I can see Harry like asking him, like, what do you think about that? He'd be like, oh, my favorite part was this. And he would just like quote it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Steph asks, in real time life, who would be a good Dumble like subject for a biography?
Dumble like? Oof.
That's if
tough.
It was gonna be honest.
Yeah.
If it was gonna be honest,
don't do it. Don't.
Oh well, I have
well,
two.
Don't. I don't know.
I
don't.
I wasn't
do
even
it.
Gonna. I wasn't even gonna say it, and then you made me think of it. I want a Taylor Swift biography. Like, anyway, I'm not going to go into full details on that, but let me just tell you, I want a deep, honest biography from that woman one day. And then also, if it was going to be honest, I want like a Prince Charles or like.
Oh, heaven Diana. Help us. Yeah, I'd read Diana's.
Even though she.
Not a Skeeter version.
No,
Danny DeVito. Well, yeah. I feel like that's what the world
it
already knows.
It doesn't say Skeeter version. It just says a Dumble-like subject for a biography. Now, if it was an honest biography, want something from the royals. I want to know what goes on because I think that there's a lot of stuff happening in that family. But more than anything,
like
Taylor Swift.
My own lofty HP said that Dumbledore would be like, she missed that I love socks. Yeah.
Britney Spears might be interesting. She's had a life, huh?
Yeah. I am interested in reading it.
And she's single and ready to mingle. Well, probably not ready to mingle, but she is no longer of the married variety. Technically.
Yep.
Brooke Shields.
Anybody else have any others?
Yep.
No, I can't think right
a
now.
A life. Taylor's version.
Kelsey.
Yeah, I need an autobiography from her one day. I'll wait until I'm in my 60s or 70s. That's fine, but I want one.
Let's not talk about that.
Katie, do you want to have anything you want to add, or are you going to go to the fan story?
I can't think of anyone.
Joel Madden.
Well, I was trying to think of like someone who's like kind of like who's like beloved but could have kind some dark mysterious. Secrets, but I don't know. The only person that like I'm thinking who first came to my mind who's like been around a long time is Dick Van Dyke. Like, it'd be so cool, but I don't think he has, like, any, like, creepy secrets.
Yeah.
I mean, he could, but...
Well,
not,
even
like,
if it's not secrets, but
there.
Just, like, a good life story, you know?
Yeah.
He would be... Julie Andrews.
Yeah.
Would be a good story to read.
Twood.
Fan story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This comes from Marianne Deloach from November of 2019. The before times. So they say, I have just recently found your podcast and love it. A random stranger commented on my 9 3/4 shirt and told me about it. That's crazy.
What?
I have been binging ever since. I'm currently on the last chapter of Chamber of Secrets. I stumbled upon the series in the late 90s while in college when a teacher acquaintance mentioned it. It was a year or so later that my sisters and I purchased a copy and passed it around. We all became obsessed. We devoured the first 4 books and went to the midnight releases of the final 3 books. We even got my dad into the books. We would all reread them as the movies came out, including my dad. I now have a 6-year-old son, and after a few false starts, we are making our way through the books. His aunt and uncle have purchased him the illustrated versions, and we are on Sorcerer's Stone. The Sorcerer's Stone. He has some friends at school that have also read the books with their parents, and he talks about playing Chamber of Secrets on the playground, which makes my heart so happy. My son and I are both proud Hufflepuffs. Woo, 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 woo!
Yeah.
Thank you for the hard work that goes into each episode, Marianne.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marianne. Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
I love that a random stranger, like that, that's the greatest thing ever. Ever. Also, I love that you are sharing this with your kid.
Ever?
It is among the greatest of things.
Yeah.
How about that? And I love that it's something you share with your family. That's kind of like what we did with my family for a little bit.
Your kid's like super old now.
Super. Oh, yeah, you're right. Man. Why does 2019 feel like last year? Because
it really does.
Time warped.
It feels like last year. And it wasn't. It sure wasn't.
No.
Megan owes me a Coke. Thank you, what? Mia. We said thank you at the same time.
So, yeah, Marianne, thank
give
you.
Give me a joke, Katie.
She mad.
Okay, what's the difference between Ron and Harry and Fred and George?
One set only, one of them has red hair.
Them?
The other set, they both have red hair.
Okay, but that's not funny.
That's way too long. What in the world?
The first two.
One set.
The first two are roommates and the other two our womb mates.
Oh my god.
That's I don't know how I feel about that joke. Okay.
Well, this is from the Ruckus Jokes and Ridiculous Riddles for Ravenclaw, so talk to them about it.
Womb mates, Ravenclaws.
Womb mates.
Womb mates.
Social media.
Myself and Katie are on Instagram and TikTok at the Petrus Family, and Tiffany is on Instagram and TikTok at tiffswish_flick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've
go for it.
What have I been doing? Classroom stuff. That's my life. That's it. That's all I have to share.
I read, what did I read? I finished a book. Oh no. Katie, you go. I'm thinking.
I started over Pokemon Violet because.
Oh yeah, I did that too.
Oh yeah, me and Meg start. So like one of my favorite Scarlet. Things like is when Meg will start a Pokemon game. Like the we'll play the opposites of each other of mm-hmm. a series of a. What would you call that?
A release.
Yeah. Thank you. And it's like I don't know. It makes me so happy. So we've been playing that together, and I'm trying to like the end goal really is like to be able to play with Brandon because I love playing Pokemon with him.
I know.
I think we're there. Which is nice. We finally figured out like some of the multiplayer stuff. Yeah, Meg is still on her traumatizing Pokemon naming convention kick. Yeah, she is. She is.
I got a Buizel. I named it Buzzy.
Okay, that's cute. I never do nicknames.
Me either. And Meg always makes them all lowercase.
It drives her crazy. And then I also got a shoot.
What does it look like?
What's my starter?
Oh, Fuecoco.
Fuecoco. But what does it say? What's its noise?
You named it Craw.
Craw, because that's what the noise is whenever it talks. It goes Craw. So I named it Craw.
I picked the cat, Chandra.
You're adorable.
I picked the cat.
Thank you.
Me and Sprigatito are tight. Okay.
Sprigatito.
Spaghetti. All I see is spaghetti when I read that name.
Also, the other day, I accidentally said that my Marie passed away, and
I lost my mind.
Passed away.
Yeah, I was like, "Oh, did you?" But I don't know what I asked her.
Lavender Town.
Yeah, I was like, "Oh, did Marie faint?" And she's like, "Yeah, my Marie passed away."
God, I've literally never said that.
Couldn't stop laughing. Oh my god.
Rest in peace with Marowak. That's right.
Oh man.
Oh my god.
The only two.
I read the book Imogen, obviously. Was absolutely fantastic. It is maybe some of the best bisexual rep that I've read in a YA book. It was fantastic. I highly recommend. It's by Becky Albertalli. I love her writing so much. Highly recommend. Imogen, obviously. Okay. I don't believe anybody got bingo.
Wow.
No.
But what are the house points? Where are the standings? Gryffindor and Ravenclaw are tied. For first.
Whoa. Get out of here, Eagles.
Hufflepuff is in second and Slytherin is in third.
You trash birds.
Oh my god.
Tiffany.
Trash birds.
Oh my god.
What?
Oh, I love you.
I love you too.
All right, end it.
End it. Okay. Yeah. This one's for Megan.
Thanks. Because I almost cried halfway
in
through.
Her week of fun. Yep. Okay. This one's for you in your uterus.
Yes.
See, Wombmates was a great show. Oh,
it was. You're right.
It was. All right. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing. Just my voice.
You've never heard of trash birds?
That too.
Why does he have to do this now?
Because this is your week.
Fillmore.
Hey, Philly.
Come here. Come touch.
You go back. Get
come here.
Snapped.
Come on. Come touch. You're not in trouble. Come touch. Okay.
Yeah, you are.
I love you. Please calm down. Okay.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.